I wanted to tell you that Dan and Tom Pulley are ill, some by injury, some otherwise. Dan fell off of something and broke about everything breakable. So Dan Pulley needs to be put on the prayer list, and his brother Tom. Also, some information about our electronic contrivances. I need for the Doritos and those of you locally who use the website from time to time that we are experimenting with streaming video. And so we've put several of our Bible classes, four or five, I guess, out on the home pages of our two websites. And you can click on those and watch it, not only audio, but video now. But we have pushed so much, if not all, of the... I thought maybe I died. And I had gone to Let's Hope Heaven, you know. I don't know what that was, but it was stunning. Oh, that was you. Oh. That's nothing new. I'm delayed. I was trying to tell you about this. This is not official. There are people on high. The boys back there call it the cloud, but I don't really know what that means. Sunny day? Do we have contact? I don't know. But there's the cloud, and we've contracted this outfit that really specializes in churches' websites. And they're very pleased. Our guys are very pleased with this company. And now we're streaming video, but there are a lot of technical things that have to be done in order to make sure all of that works right. So if you decide to log on to these streaming videos and audios, you may run into some kind of idiosyncrasy. For example, this past week, I think the Bible class from last Thursday had dropouts, lip sync was off. These are the kind of things that occur until you get everything nailed down. So it's got to be out there for people to try it and then give feedback saying it's working fine or these problems have occurred. And so this may take a little while to get everything screwed together to where it works efficiently every time. So I just wanted you to know that in case that you should use the website for that purpose, there are problems and you want to let people know. Well, we know, and this is just a process we have to work through in order to get it to where it is acceptable. Okay. Is there anything else I need to do? Yes, there is. We postponed the Media Ministries board meeting because of our shindig last Thursday. And we pushed it down to this coming Thursday, the 10th. There's some things that we are discussing in Media Ministries. I can tell you that I may as well let this cat out of the sack. This is a cat I would prefer to stay in the sack and then stitch it shut. But I have to understand that we're living in the 21st century. And therefore, guys are coming to me on the board and saying, especially Rick here, who is the man who collects all the monies and puts it in places for it to be kept safe. Is there a place? I don't know. Rick has found the safest place. And are telling of feedback from Doritos especially, and there may be those locally, I don't know. No, they have instructions, never talk to me about money. Okay, but now here I am doing that. Because I have to broach this subject. That there are people who are going paperless. They're not doing paper anymore. They don't get bank statements. They don't use checks. Everything is done electronically. So if they want to... contribute or pay a bill or anything that requires writing a check, they don't do that anymore. And so they do it through whatever the technological approaches they have available to them to pay their bills or whatever they do. And so they're saying, we would like to contribute to the church, but we don't write checks anymore. So what these people are saying is they want some little click place on the websites where they can click on that and contribute that way. Well, I have a word for that. It's called PayPal. And that's like using the most vile curse word you can think of to me, because I think PayPal is a way to say, hey, pal, pay up. And we operate totally on grace here. And so if somebody wants to contribute to this church or media ministries, they have to have the personal motivation to do that. And then whatever means they do choose, then fine. But we're going to have a meeting Thursday to discuss this again. Whether we do it or not, I don't know. I have my veto pen ready. I've heard they have those. And I have a pen and I have a phone. So, but I'm going to be very reluctant to go forward with that, but then the board can outvote me. So that's what's on the horizon. Whether we do that or not, I don't know. But I have to be convinced that in the 21st century, that this is a way people move money around. Then on the 17th, we will have the GDC board meeting. It'll be the final one of the year. It'll be the meeting in which we establish the congregational meeting, which we do annually in February. It's always the second Sunday. In 2016, it'll be the 14th, is the second Sunday. That'll be Joe Henry's birthday. It'll be Valentine's Day, and I'll be in the business to buy flowers of some kind. And then there'll be other issues on the agenda as well. Okay, that's done. We're going to have a moment of silent prayer, rebound if necessary. Let's pray. Now, Father, as we continue our study, it is our prayer that through the filling of the Holy Spirit, that each one here and those who log in electronically would be prepared under that power to acquire the information in their souls, to place their trust in it, to retain it, and therefore ultimately to do what is intended to perform, and that is the execution of divine thought into their personal lives. Motivate us toward this objective as we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Now, we had proceeded in our study. I sort of did a blitzkrieg there at the end because there was a place I thought would be good to stop. But what I was getting across to you is the concept of lawlessness, as you might recall. And lawlessness is evident in the client nation today. We noted that. Those who lie vote for those who are liars. And I mean that seriously, because when you look at data inventory, the data inventory of so many in our country is simply raw human viewpoint. And from raw human viewpoint, people often will do what they think is beneficial to them at the moment. I find it interesting that where there's a system that has been established for people to adhere to and go by, everyone is willing to submit to that system as long as it agrees with them. And when it doesn't agree with them, then they want to circumvent it just on that occasion, but because it's just necessary right now. And so that is what we find within the population. And when that branches over to include those who are in decision-making positions, whether it's local, state, or national, then that becomes a major problem. We do have a Constitution. This is establishment viewpoint. And in our Constitution, there are restraints that are placed, for example, on our tripartite government. You can't do this, but you can do that kind of an approach. And our founders wanted to split responsibilities in three different ways and put restraints on each and allowing whatever was not isolated to one or more of these agencies called the legislature, the Supreme Court, and the president, that would remain with the people or to the states. And so because so many in, I would say, the last 50 or 60 years and before have decided, well, yes, we do have that restraint in the Constitution, but this is such a great idea, we're just going to circumvent it this time. Well, this is the mystery of lawlessness. This cannot hold up over the long haul in a free society. It will hold up in a not-so-free society. And ultimately you got tyranny, totalitarianism, and things that are even worse than that. And especially, we're going to get to something. If I keep talking, we'll get to it till a week from Tuesday. But the point is, we're going to see concepts that are in our Constitution and in our national, state, and local laws that are inviting, get a load of this, that are inviting surreal law in the United States of America. And that will be utilized by CARE and other Islamic organizations to wedge their way in with Sharia law into our country. We will study that in things upcoming. And what I'm using that for at this point is to tell you that's the mystery of lawlessness. And people don't get that's a mystery of lawlessness concept. But the lawlessness that follows that decision, we boxed ourselves in, guys. I'm telling you, Lucifer is one smart dude. He sees the loophole that he's going to be able to utilize. It'll be slow. It'll be easy. There'll be protest. People will cry wolf. All of that will go on. But nevertheless, the loophole is there. And when you say, well, maybe we ought not to allow that. And if you don't allow that, then you are going to suppress Islam and its desire for Sharia law, but at the same time suppress every other religious organization. I mean, it's across the board. Everybody has to do the same thing, right? Mystery of lawlessness. So I just want to go through this quickly. The godliness that is prevalent in our nation today is evident to those who know Bible doctrine. But the unwashed masses are willing and anxious to hear the lies of the liars and cheer them on for the lies they tell. A lot of that going on today. Mystery of lawlessness. Yet during the church age and even now, Luciferian strategies are restrained by the Holy Spirit. Following the rapture, the Holy Spirit will be removed from the earth as a restraining power, allowing the dispensation of the tribulation to sink into unrestrained chaos. Continuing. The psychologically indoctrinated benighted think they have found answers to illogically perceived problems while ignoring the real dangers that are clear as crystal. For example, seeking a safe space while welcoming potential terrorists into the country. How dumb is that? Somebody said something to somebody about something, and they were offended by that. And these panty waists decided that that was more than they could bear, and they needed a safe space where nobody would dare say anything like that to them. We need to draw. Here's this. I don't mean SS stormtroopers. I mean a safe space. Same thing. We are going to run the show here. And we're going to have a safe space. And we don't care whether we have to shut down the First Amendment to do so. That First Amendment's good for certain things, but not today. You say, well, folks shouldn't say rude things to others. Well, my question is, where's your mama? When I was growing up, I said things that you have no idea the things I said. I've said some things that just would draw a blister on a brick that was so rude and uncouth. Like I was 7 or 9 or 13 or 23 or whatever it was. I was not a good guy, okay? I didn't know I wasn't a good guy until I was 30 and finally heard somebody teach the Bible, okay? How about you? Until you heard the Bible taught, how great a guy were you? You say, well, I'm a great guy now. No, just know you got a sin nature. Until there's restraint, you are a mystery of godliness. Lawlessness. Actually, you were a mystery of godliness. You were a mystery of godliness. You didn't know that. But you were displaying the mystery of lawlessness. And we all did that. Now, don't sit there all stoic like, no, not me. I was a beautiful creature. I was, My soul just sprouted light all day long. But what is it? Look, I can testify. Hell, let's testify. I can tell you at age 30, I walked into a room and a man said, open your Bibles to James 1:1. And he began to teach exegetically, dissecting the verbs. I'd been in Miss Lamb's class. I knew there were verbs, but which words in the sentence were the verb? I didn't know that. That you have a subject and a verb and direct object and participles. Still don't know what a participle is. Do you? Do you know what a? I don't have any idea what a participle is, but they have those, and in grammar, and so I mean, he's talking this stuff, you know, like I'm back in Lamb's class, and I'm writing feverishly, and he gets through, and we all voted that man, we never heard anything like that before. He was teaching the Bible. Maybe we ought to ask him back. So we said, when you come back 2 weeks from now, will you do this again? Will you pick up in verse 2? Whole hour, verse 1. And so that is when I got introduced to something outside myself. God bless Jo Henry. She put up with it all that time. I'm sure she wondered when, as time rocked on, I thought he was such a nice guy. And then he kept coming back and kept coming back. We said, how do you do this? Our guy don't do this over at the first church. We don't get this. He said, I pick it up here and there. And we kept asking, are you the one that does all of this? Well, was his answer. So finally we said, you're going to leave us real soon, go back to Birmingham. And you got to tell us how we can keep getting this approach here. He said, well, I'll tell you, but you must not take this information and say anything about it in your local church. Oh, we wouldn't say a word. Tell us now. So he did. And so we ordered tapes, 7-inch. And we started listening. 3 of us, all in the same church. And they asked us to teach. That was their mistake because I couldn't help myself. They put me in charge of a teenage class. And that teenage class and I had a grand time and I taught them doctrine. Didn't tell them what I was doing, just taught doctrine. And they started paying attention to that. They started accumulating these principles in their soul and telling their parents about it, some of the things that were being taught. And then I got a letter. And the letter said, you're the most evil man that has come down the pike since we don't know when. Maybe you were an SS trooper. And I was looking for a safe space at that point. And my safe space was to get out of that church. As lawlessness breeds lawlessness, and as bad decisions continue to limit future options, the situation is mollified by the continuing restraint of the Holy Spirit. Did you have restraint before you got into doctrine? Except for what your mom and daddy taught you to do and not do, not necessarily biblical principles, but establishment principles at least. Did your daddy or your mom ever say to you, that's not what we do here? You got to change your behavior. Now, it may have been a biblical principle, an establishment principle, or one in-house. Mamas and daddies get to establish in-house principles. And so you obey that. That's where you learn how to orient to authority, in-house. And you go elsewhere and you learn establishment concepts, what you can and can't do. And then you get into the church and you learn biblical concepts, what God expects you to do on all occasions. So once you get those things in your soul, then rather than being the mystery of lawlessness, you can comprehend what the mystery of lawlessness is from an inventory of ideas. Now, the verse begins with the fact that the mystery of lawlessness is already operational. When did it become operational? It became operational Actually, it's been operational ever since the fall of Lucifer and the angels. But the concept of the mystery of lawlessness began at Acts chapter 2. And the mystery of lawlessness was in effect there, and it's in effect now and remains so until the rapture. Now, the word operational is the present middle indicative of the verb energo. And energo, this is a word for work. And there is kinetic energy and potential energy. The former is active while the latter is latent. The mystery of lawlessness is described as kinetic, therefore operational. The mystery of lawlessness is now operational. When? Acts chapter 2. How long will it stay operational? Rapture of the church. Then it will intensify on another level in the tribulation. Because there won't be any restraint there. So the present tense is durative, which indicates the action of this energy being in the past and continues to the present. So that's indeed true. The Luciferian system has intensified its attack on believers since the beginning of the church age in an ongoing attempt to frustrate the plan of God. The Luciferian system has intensified its attack. See, he's got to turn up the heat. He does not know when the rapture is going to occur. Now, he does this on believers because they are the ministry of restraint under the power of the Holy Spirit. The more believers who grow in grace, the better the circumstance in the client nation. Therefore, evangelism flourishes, blessings down the grace pipeline increase, and prosperity and freedom are magnified. Do you see that principle? That's how the system works. There's a system involved here. In a client nation, which we are, there has to be a system of thinking that maintains order within the commonwealth from one generation to the next. And when the thought is passed on from one generation to the next, then prosperity continues. What do I mean by prosperity? We have plus R is over here, and justice is going to manage that. So justice, therefore, once you believe in Christ, is ordered by righteousness to construct a grace pipeline. Why? Because you are believers in the devil's world. And just like in the military, if you send guys off to war, then you've got to have a supply line. There must be logistics. And it's more than just bullets. They got to have bread. They've got to be sustained. They've got to be fed. So you've got to get a supply line of food to keep them healthy, energized, clarity of thought so they can do their duty. You don't send them over there with the bullets and no bread. So here we are in the devil's world, which is fallen, and Lucifer runs it, yet we are engaged in the invisible war. We have to be supplied. In other words, when you're saved, you don't drop dead and go to heaven. You remain on this earth for a duty. The duty is to take in information about the Lord's function for us. You have to do A, B, C, and D. I want you to do this. I want you to get saved. I want you to start using minimal problem-solving devices, advance to more sophisticated, use the information to make good choices, move forward in the contest. Well, that requires something. That would be food, clothing, shelter. But down the pipeline come blessings associated with that. The more information you receive, the greater prosperity you enjoy. And are you saying, are you talking about a Mercedes-Benz? Are you talking about living in Huntley? No. I'm talking about coming down the pipeline are things that are associated with the specifics that are necessary. You are going to be supplied with this. I don't care what goes on in this country. You're going to be kept alive. You're in the battle. You have to be fed. You have to have food, clothing, and shelter. You have to have transportation in this technological age. You have to have a cell phone. I mean, that's a necessity. I would think it would be. Everybody's got the cell phone out. Oh, yeah, I have to do thumb exercises. You know, I can't, when I send a text, it just takes me like 5 minutes just to do a sentence. You say, well, you're going to use an abbreviation. No. I try my best to use full words with commas where necessary. I am not going to be drawn in to a crap language because my thumbs won't hit the right letters. feel much better now. But now there are other things that are coming down that pipeline. What do I mean by that? Look, if you're blessed, the blessing doesn't just come to you. Let's take food, clothing, and shelter. Have you been to Shop and Save lately? Dierbergs. Oh, that other one I can't pronounce. Is it Schnucks? Schnucks. There's an N. Schnucks. Haven't been in a Schnucks. I don't know why. I've just never been near one. Never wanted to go. I'm sure it's fine. But when I go into Shop and Save with Mama, and we go in there, I always go to the vegetable section. There's a whole wall of vegetables. Vegetables I did not know existed or that were edible. And I look at that. They're right up on the edge of the shelf. They've got a little thing that goes about every 10 minutes. Waters this stuff. Keeps it alive for your benefit. How did you get that? How did we wind up with the little spray deal? Because people want to sell the vegetables before they turn brown. So there's a system. Everywhere you go, there's this system of food. And it's not just the believer that goes in there that can buy this stuff. Heathen go in there. More heathen go buy that food than the believers. What do you call that? Blessing by association. Would there be food there if the pivot shrinks to where nothing really outstanding is coming down the pipeline? Ha! Poverty. Then there are other things that come too. I mean, if you're good at what you do, what do? So all of you guys in here looking at me, I don't know what you do. You do something. And therefore they pay you for this. And what you get paid. You work hard, you get a raise. Work hard, work hard, work hard, get a raise. Work hard, work hard, work hard, buy into the business. Now you're a part owner. Work hard, work hard, work hard. Those guys die, you own the whole thing. Where are you living now? Huntley. Why? You got the money. You say, well, you shouldn't live there. It's too big, too expensive. Well, somebody's got to build the house you want to live in Huntley. Who are those people? Contractors. They hire people that have just started out that know all things like pipe fitting. There's a guy started out as a pipe fitter. Now he's the only pipe fitter in this whole organization. They say, well, do you fit pipes? Yeah, I fit pipes. Been fitting pipes for a long time. Well, we need you to come fit our pipes. And he said, well, okay. So now he's the only guy that fits pipes. So nobody else is. The rest are too stupid to know how to fit pipes. So he's the honcho. What do? Are you earning now what you earned the first day out? You mean you got a raise? Went to another job? Better deal? What are you doing? How'd you get there? And ask yourself this question. Whatever it is I do, I'm dependent upon others. Who are these people? The people I work for? Or the people who work for me. But we need to have customers. And the people out there in a free economy that need what you do. And therefore you sell your expertise to them. And they pay you for it. And the better you are at it, the more you're going to make. The more, therefore, money you got to spend. What happens to the money? You spend it the way you bloody want to. And where you spend it are the heathen quite often. And they prosper. Blessing by association. And all of that is hinged on the fact that God is honoring you because you honor the Word. And it comes all the way down that pipeline. You dispense it at your pleasure if it's legal. And people benefit. And therefore what happens to the nation? Everybody prospers to some degree. Except those who want a safe space. They're cowards. Feel much better now. But I want you to understand that. Listen to this point here. The word operational is the present middle indicative of the verb in ergo. This is the word for work. There is kinetic energy and potential energy. Okay, I did learn something in school. And the former is active while the latter is latent. The mystery of lawlessness is described as kinetic, therefore operational. The present tense is durative, which indicates the action of the energy began in the past and continues to the present. The Luciferian system has intensified its attack on believers since the beginning of the church age in an ongoing attempt to frustrate the plan of God. Buy into the lie. Doctrine's too hard. I'm bored. Wang. Somebody sing a song. Somebody play a guitar. Somebody stand up and run down the aisles with your hands in the air. What people do, that's free exercise, fine. But that's not contributing to the power of the pivot. Present day examples of the mystery of lawlessness are clear to believers with doctrine, but a mystery to those who have been dumbed down to the point that they believe themselves wise but have become fools. When we got a nation of doofy, and they're coming out of universities, I can't believe what people are showing me on TV about people in universities. Do you know they are allegedly spending something like $20,000 to $40,000 a year on an education that leaves them stupid? What's wrong with this? We can't continue this way where our educational system is designed to stupefy the graduates. They've been stupefied. The middle voice is indirect. The mystery of lawlessness produces the action by being operational in the church age. What's the mystery of lawlessness? The devil's world. One of y'all said to me at halftime that they had a conversation with a fellow that they were doing business with. And he got launched off on some discussion. And so our fellow here says, well, you know, it's just the devil's world. And the guy said, oh, we're going to talk theology, are we? Well, life is theology, like it or not. And so they had a nice conversation, but didn't make a dent because people don't want to hear the truth. Probably that man was thinking once the conversation was over, you know, once this job is over, I'm going to find me a safe space. I want to hear about this devil's world thing. That offends me. I'm frightened. Middle voice, indirect, the mystery of lawlessness produces the action by being operational in the church age. Indicative mood is declarative, indicating that the operational function of the mystery of lawlessness is a fact and it is ongoing. So that's just lock that down. That's a fact. The mystery of lawlessness began in Acts 2 and will continue to the rapture. It's kinetic. It never is latent. The restraining power of the Holy Spirit is found in the second half of the verse. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Now we've got a pronoun in the masculine gender. So we have to figure out how we're going to deal with that pronoun. It's used twice. He who now restrains. Well, who on earth would that be? Who is the he that restrains? Okay. If you say to me, you know, Joe, I don't have a clue. You just ramble around and you don't get down to the point, and I just am confused. Well, who restrains? It would be the Holy Spirit. And so the H has to be in uppercase, wouldn't it? That's not the way it is in the New American Standard because they don't like to pay attention to pronouns, usually. The first word is monos, meaning only. Although lawlessness is operational in the church age, it is limited in its power. Lawlessness is operational, but limited in its power. So next is the key word in the passage, the present active participle of the verb kateko. Kateko means to restrain. Now there's our key word in all of this, to restrain. And who's restraining? The he is an uppercase H referencing the Holy Spirit. There's no restraint on the part of the dark side. They're trying to be unrestrained, but they can't be totally unrestrained because there is a restrainer functioning. And that restrainer is the he. And the he has got to be the Holy Spirit. It can be no one else. So the one that restrains is indicated by the masculine singular article he, the only power that is powerful enough to restrain the lawlessness is God. And the person assigned to that duty is the Holy Spirit. You have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Each is a person. And the Holy Spirit is operational in the souls of believers who are able to recall and apply divine principles. Recall and apply. When applied, they provide the divine power to influence and thus restrain events in the devil's world. Now, get your power. How do you get the power? You get inside the bubble. That gives you the power to understand the Word of God through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. When He teaches you, you have divine thought. You have a snippet, a concept, an idea, a wheel track, an association, a constellation. Grow in grace. With that power, if it becomes a path of least resistance, you apply that concept in your personal life. That is contributing to the power to restrain godliness, lawlessness. It's godliness that you retain. It attacks lawlessness. So be a godly person. See, that word is often misused. Godly, some people are godly because they preen about and look sophisticated. But a godly person is a person who thinks like God. And to do that, they have to learn the information, become a repository for divine thought for application. Now, if you get a large number of people doing that, as was the case at the founding of our country and the drawing up of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, don't forget that. And then the nation subscribed to that. Each of the states had to ratify. There were 13 at the time, and everybody had a copy. And they looked at it and said, well, this isn't going to be okay. There's some things about it I'm not too comfortable with. That would have been Patrick Henry. He said, I think this is fine, but it gives too much power to the federal government and takes too much from the states. We need to have maybe a 10th Amendment here. Oh, and let's talk about the churches. Let's don't let, like they have in England, let's don't have a national religion. Let's fix it to where individuals can make that choice. Why don't we have a First Amendment for that? And so if this debate goes on in Virginia, he said, I won't vote to ratify until we get a Bill of Rights. Well, Virginia had the biggest vote because it was the biggest colony, had the most folks, most power. And so the word gets around, Patrick's on the warpath again, and he wants a Bill of Rights. So Madison said, okay, here's the deal. He was a Virginian, too. And so he says to Pat, he said, now, Pat, listen. He says, when we get this thing passed, I promise you the first order of business in the new Congress will be to consider amendments. And Patrick said, well, okay. And so that's what happened. And they had 120 approximately that were submitted to Congress, 120 amendments. And the first ones to be voted on, they were going to call the Bill of Rights. And so when all of this got sifted out, it was ginned down to 10. And the First Amendment is what's under assault today. Freedom of the press is under assault in the sense that the press includes the Bible. The press includes what we publish here regarding Bible doctrine or distribute here. That's under assault. You can't say those things. We're finding out you can't say things that make other people feel like they need a safe space. Well, the Bible does not in any way cooperate with that idea. The Bible needs to tell you, hey, buddy, there ain't no safe space. This is the devil's world. Oh, we're going to talk theology now. Yes, there ain't no safe space. And I like to use the word ain't. It seems more powerful than there is not a safe space. There's not a safe space. There ain't a safe space, buddy. There ain't. And to get one, you need to get inside the bubble. And you need to take in information that enables you to be a significant positive contributor to the sustenance of this client nation. Get in that pipeline and let the pipeline honor your instruction, that intake of instruction, and the retention and the application, and down that pipeline are going to come so many blessings exceedingly abundantly beyond all you could ever ask or think. Come on, get with the program. Power is made operational by evangelism, which enlarges the royal family and gives potential power to the pivot. So that's one of the opportunities and obligations, really. For the believer, when opportunity presents it. Now, this fellow I spoke to at halftime was trying to get a guy to come out of the darkness into the light. And so he was railing about the way things are in the country today. And he says, oh, well, you know, it's the angelic conflict and it is the devil's world, you know. Oh, we're going to talk theology now. Like we ain't been talking theology before now. Like you don't understand the mystery of lawlessness then, do you? You're talking about the mystery of lawlessness all the time. And now you want to think it's turning the idea over to theology. Like we ain't been talking theology all along. Like have you studied in detail 2 Thessalonians 2 lately, Mr. Guy? Oh, we're talking theology now. I don't remember that. Those who are growing in grace have kinetic power to apply to the circumstances they face and the issues they confront. You have the kinetic power. Restraint. Broadening the pivot. Broadening the doctrinal inventory of the population of the client nation. With every doctrine you acquire and apply, you are broadening the power of the Holy Spirit's restraining ministry. Because the power has been diminished over the last 50 to 60 years to a very significant degree, we see the intrusion of the mystery of lawlessness in the thinking of the people. The thinking of the people now have inversion of thought, and they think what is true are their erroneous ideas. And they think what is false have to do with things that they consider to be of a religious nature. And, of course, the Bible is something that causes more problems than it's worth. So the First Amendment needs to be rethought. Every member of the royal family possesses the imputation of divine righteousness, which constructs a grace pipeline through which guaranteed blessings are imputed and then accrue. Blessings are imputed, and from those blessings accrue and expand and become more powerful. And blessings become a motivation to continue the process of inculcation and application. You are in university. You're in the university of the truth, the Divine Academy of Grace Didactics. The faculty is made up of one person, the Holy Spirit. The students are those who choose to matriculate inside the bubble. And that's where the power is. That's where restraint is located. The greater the knowledge of doctrine in the soul of a believer, the greater the blessings, some of which have to do with divine protection of the body of Christ in the hostile environment of cosmos diabolicus. Now, the present active participle of kateo is durative. It denotes action begun in the past and continues to the present. Begun in the past, continues to the present. This durative action began in the past at the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2, and will continue until the rapture of the church, yet future. So it is operational, you see. This means that the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit is an ongoing part of the plan of God. And that's in the church age only. There's no restraint in the tribulation, and then there's absolutely no problem in the millennium. The Lord's taking care of it then. We have an active voice of kateko. Active voice indicates that the Holy Spirit produces the action of restraining lawlessness through his various ministries executed through the souls of positive spirit-filled believers. I will repeat that. The active voice indicates this, that the Holy Spirit produces the action of restraining lawlessness. How does he do that? Through his various ministries executed through the souls of positive spirit-filled believers. This is the bubble. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. We are the student. We make ourselves available to his teaching through positive volition. Okay, go back to the active voice. He's going to produce the action of restraining lawlessness. How does he produce that? He can only produce it to those who are positive to the Word of God. we have a maximum number of believers who are positive. We'll pretend that for a moment. When would that be? That would be when the nation enjoyed great prosperity. Okay? And therefore you have blessing by association in this process. Believers have to be sustained. In the sustenance process, believers will enjoy certain benefits associated with their advance. I described that previously in our study today. With that idea going, then you're going to have those who have positive volition, and therefore you have exceedingly abundant blessings to the believer that's making the advance. Okay, and all of this occurs inside the bubble with the Holy Spirit as the teacher matched up with your positive volition. You grow in grace. And this, what do we have here? This is developing and expanding the power of the pivot. The more inside the pivot, the more growing in grace and making application, the more blessings and prosperity accrue down the pipeline. There is positive impact throughout the society by blessing by association. So to repeat, the active voice indicates that the Holy Spirit produces the action of restraining lawlessness through His various ministries executed through the souls of positive, Spirit-filled believers. The restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit becomes kinetic power only when it is applied by the positive volition of advancing believers. No application, no power. We got lights in this church. We can brag about them. There are lights everywhere. We turn them on, everybody sees fine. What if we turn them off? You say, you know, I've enjoyed coming to church. It was such a glow in there. But, you know, the deacons decided that we need to cut down on expenses, so we're turning the lights out. You do that when you're out of fellowship. The light is out. You have no power. Then when you get information that is powerful and you keep it to yourself, I'm not going to apply that. I just need a safe space, you know. And there's no application. And there's no application, then there's no power. So, the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit becomes kinetic power only when it is applied by the positive volition of advancing believers. And there's a process here. I'll rip it to you and then we'll call it off for the day. Now, there's common grace. You know about that. Efficacious grace follows that if you're positive. Then there's the filling of the Holy Spirit through confession alone to God alone. The teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit for those who are positive to Bible doctrine. The multitasking ministry of the Holy Spirit, which coordinates information in the cardia for application. And then we have the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit that is really the obligation of the entire pivot, but especially those who are in the sophisticated spiritual life. Those are some of the things that we will undertake beginning on Wednesday evening. Now, Father, we do thank You for allowing us the opportunity to study the mystery of lawlessness. It is evident around us, but it has not been unleashed upon the world because of the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit in concert with those in every generation who are positive to Your word and inculcate its power and execute it into the combat. May we be motivated to become good soldiers for Christ. And to these ends, we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Charis human kai irene, plethun thae en epinosai, tu theu kai iesu tu kuriu hemon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen.